Okay, welcome everyone to the 100 Year Podcast. Today we're hosting an absolutely hilarious content creator and comedian, Ross Pomeranz, who is also known as Corporate Bro. And if you've never seen Corporate Bro, I highly recommend you check him out on YouTube. Also with us is our co-host, Aisha Yassa. So Aisha, let's kick it off and let's go.
Yeah, Ross, thanks so much for joining us today. It's great to meet you and have you on the podcast. We'd love to hear a little bit about how Corporate Bro came to be. Where'd the idea come from?
Sure. I can give you kind of the quick version. So I graduated from school 2011, spent a couple years after that playing baseball, thinking I was going to be a Major League Baseball player. Then I learned I was not 6 feet tall, and that was never going to happen. So like many washed-up athletes, I found myself in sales. I got a role at Oracle. Most people have heard of the company Oracle. They have no idea what it does. That's okay. Most people don't. I still barely know what they do. And it was a role called business development consultant. I was like, all right, I'm down to develop some business. That sounds cool. And it turned out I was a cold caller. It turned out I was in sales. And that was a harsh awakening. But, you know, having graduated with absolutely no hard skills at all, couldn't code, really do math, anything else. The gift of gab, I guess, is about all I had. So while I was working there, if you've never been in sales, you've probably been on the receiving end of a sales call, and you can imagine how you have a visceral reaction to be like, I hate this person. Why are they calling me? Why are they wasting my time? That was me. I was the human on the other side. I know, shocking. And so you can imagine the ups and downs that take place in sales. It's a lot of rejection. Now, I wouldn't call it a scam. I think a lot of people view like sales as old white guy slapping the back of used cars and trying to screw people over. This is software sales, a little bit different, but nonetheless, you're still calling people when, trying to communicate with people when they don't necessarily want to. And so one day I was kind of looking around the office. I was at Redwood Shores, basically Bay Area. And I said, everybody here is just a corporate bro. Everyone was 20 to 40 years old. Nobody knew what the hell they were selling, yet somehow they were closing, you know, seven-figure deals with Fortune 100 CEOs. And that was kind of the birth of, I got to document this. Like I had no idea what tech sales was. I had no idea what sales was, generally speaking, until I was there. And so I just started making Vines. I started making Vine videos and RIP Vine, you know, TikTok before TikTok. And that's where it started. So I never started making them with any intent of it becoming big. I just did it for catharsis. It was my own medication just to kind of make fun of the fact that I was pretty goddamn miserable. So that's the origin.
So did you use some of your kind of real life experiences to fill the skits, or do you have kind of community audience that submit?
Yeah, I've done both, but it's pretty much exclusively my life. You know, I think most comics or content creators, like the antenna has to be on at all times to have that inspiration. It's really hard. And as much as I try, and I do try to sit down and be like, let's write something, let's come up with something great. It usually happens out in the wild randomly. So, you know, it could be something stupid. Like I think one of my early videos was like, you know, when a chair leans back a little too far and you think for like a split second, it's going down and you're going down and you're going to die. I was like, okay, I just make a little video about this. Or, you know, headsets used to be wired back in the day for us. And so you'd forget you were wearing it around your neck. Someone would be like, let's go to lunch. And you stand up and then hang yourself, you know? And so it was like all these little things. And I would just write them down and, you know, kind of, you know, use them for later. So it was all the inspiration off of my real life.
Awesome. So what are some of the most wildest experiences in that corporate world?
Is this a rated R podcast?
It can be whatever you. That's
fine. We have Calvin to bleep.
Great. Well, it'll be a long bleep here. I think like in sales in particular, it is a work hard, play hard mentality. You know, like I said, the people I was working with, 20 to 40, most of them had been in some sort of frat sorority. It was a, you know, go out late, party, right? And then wake up real early in the morning, possibly, you know, in between throwing up, making sales calls. It was like, it was a little, I don't want to call it Wolf of Wall Street because like the money wasn't that good. And it wasn't that cool. It was actually kind of a little more sad when you looked at it. But there was a lot of people hooking up in the office, a lot of partying. I mean, it was just like, like I said, it was just,
yeah,
the mentality was a little bit savage. It wasn't terribly professional, except when you're on that sales call. So everything behind the scenes was, you know, I mean, there was people getting duct taped by their managers to their chairs, like to make more calls. Like there was an alcohol cart being pushed around the office at certain times of the year, like end of quarter in particular. You know, there was a lot of things like that.
Got it. Well, now I'm only going to be imagining that whenever I get any kind of sales call moving forward.
Yeah.
What about you, Roel? Any wild corporate experiences to share?
Yeah, I probably have a lot, actually. I was thinking about it when you asked Ross for, you know, some ideas there. But I'll say that being in the PC hardware business and, you know, traveling to Southeast Asia, you see a side of let's just say business development that you just don't, you know, this, like I could never go back to that. And I'll tell you that if I wasn't young at the time, I probably would have been dead. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's so funny watching your videos and seeing how true to life it is. Like, I think there was one video where you referred to your staff as your subordinates. There's a lot of comedy in that, but there are people like that in the corporate world who actually, you know, believe that that's normal, you know, and that's just, you know, he actually like called them out. So, hey, subordinates, like, I thought it was really fucking funny because I've met people like that in my past. And I don't know if you've met people like that or if you just kind of make that up as you go along, but
pretty dope. I mean, the people say it without saying it, right? Like yeah. I kind of embellish a little bit. But I'm kind of curious from you, like when you were at HP or, you know, like Microsoft, you were on the receiving end, I'm sure, of sales emails and cold calls and so forth. And I'm curious if there was ever a salesperson or an email or a moment where you're like, oh, this person's pretty damn good.
Yeah, actually, there has been a few of those. There's been a lot of bad ones. Usually when they spell my name wrong, it gets deleted immediately. But, you know, there's been some good ones where they're persistent, but to the point where they find something about me that I really like, maybe. You know, I don't know how they find out about it, and they sort of bring it up in a really interesting way. And this is a person I would hire. And in fact, there was a point in time when I did hire someone who was trying to sell me something into Microsoft. It happens. It's rare. It does happen though. Like I hate getting calls in the middle of the day from somebody I don't know. I mean, thank God for, you know, spam protection and call blocking and stuff now on phones. But
yeah.
I get them all the time and I try and you know, be accommodating to a point because most of it is really annoying, but sometimes there's somebody really good out there who, you know, you just never know. So I do tend to give people the benefit of the doubt, even though I don't want to. So it is rare, but it happens.
I mean, there's a lot of shitty salespeople out there. There just is, you know, it's just unfortunate that their being shitty at their job has to affect other people.
Yeah.
So like yeah. profoundly and directly.
Yeah, so it's corporate bro, like just mostly sales. Is that how you sort of pitch it? Like the head of sales sales manager kind of thing?
Yeah, it was kind of like it was born out of sales. I've tried and still try to kind of expand it to be a little bit more generally broad, you know, whether I'm talking about like CEOs and so forth. I think like the deepest level, if someone was to scroll through my videos, a salesperson would resonate the most. Just because I use a lot of sales jargon and so forth. I think my longer term goal is to certainly like expand it just to be more generally corporate. And that is the intent. But I think the deepest layers of kind of the comedy do lean sales. It comes from the perspective of a sales guy.
Have you ever been asked or have you ever gone out and done a speaking gig at a corporate event?
Oh, that's like what I do. That's professionally what I do pretty much. I go in as corporate bro. I go to sales kickoffs all the time. Speaking season's next month, I guess. So starts in January through March. Yeah, usually is like pretty heavy.
Do they know who you are when you go in? Or
most do. I mean, they invite the people who invite me there know who I am, kind of what I do.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, there's a lot of the older sales folks who aren't really social media people, and so they learn who I am. It depends on the company. I mean, I've written what I do, and I perform what I do as if people have no idea who I am. So there is an intro element to it. But it doesn't take long to understand kind of what my shtick is. It's like all pro sales and ragging on sales and then really ragging on marketing and talking shit about pretty much the whole world and being self-deprecating in a lot of ways. So, but also motivational, right? Because sales is hard and sales is, for so many companies, the lifeblood of their entire existence. And so, you know, it's kind of balancing that. But they know who I am. And obviously, some companies are a little more worried about what I might say, but I like to think my EQ is okay. I know what to,
I was going to say, that's actually how Ross and I first met, is I shot one of his speaking gigs in Seattle, nice. And he was wearing a bright blue suit.
Yeah, it looked like a blueberry, or it looked like I murdered a Smurf.
Do you have any of those available online people can see?
I have, like, the video that Cav shot. I don't keep them online as far as, like, their entirety, just like most stand-ups, unless it's on Netflix, you know. I don't put the whole performance on there.
Okay.
So they got to come to me, you know, they got to bring me in.
What's the next one? January? Where can they find
January.
You?
January. I will be at, I go to the companies, right? So it's like, you have to be work at that company. It has to be at their event. I don't really go to traditional clubs and so forth. I kind of keep it on the corporate circuit or conferences and so forth, but it'll be in San Diego. I've got one in San Diego. I've got one in Austin. I've got one in Tampa. I got one in Vegas. And so they kind of bounce around. Some are even like now, especially the last couple of years, remote, which is weird to do it where I'm sitting. Yeah.
That's cool, man. I just went to one of the best events that I've been to in years. It was actually at A16Z founder conference. It was their first one that they've ever done. And it was, I just got back yesterday.
Where did they do it?
They did this one in Palm Springs. And they brought in founders from, you know, all over the world who they've invested in. And they brought in speakers and, you know, just really great. It was a really great place to meet people. Like, I was sitting next to, the founder of Dig, you know, Kevin Rose. And then there's like a few other really, really interesting people there, like Brian from Coinbase, that sort of thing was speaking and whatnot. Oh, yeah.
They know how to pick them. They know how to pick them. So.
Yeah, they know how to pick them. So my question to you is, if you were to pitch to A16Z a startup as Corporate Bro, and I give you sort of one minute to pitch, can you pitch us a startup idea now? And by the way, just know that I spent about 4 years in VC with Microsoft Ventures and that sort of thing. So I'd love to hear it. And then at some point, you know, if you're down, we're probably going to interview someone from A16Z at some point, and I'd love to have you just come on as a surprise and pitch your startup idea. I think it'd be really fucking funny.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would probably, if it's Corporate Bro pitching it, like, I'm just going to go in there and start using buzzwords.
Let's do it. Can we count down and go for it? Like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just
be put on the spot.
Sure, I'll just try and make something up here.
All right, here we go. All right, everybody. My name is Rahul Sood, and I am investing in startups. Today on Mecha Fight Club Shark Tank, we have Corporate Bro, who's going to pitch us his startup idea. Go for it.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. I think a lot of people are looking for the next game-changing idea. And lucky for you guys, it's sitting here right before you. So I want you to imagine, right, blockchain technology. You're familiar with it. Mecha, you know, Solana, SBF. FTX, you know, that type of thing. It's pretty sweet. There's a lot of money involved. And you too can have a Bahamas compound for $100 million after, of course, you know, we reach our Series B, which shouldn't be too long. All right, so it's cloud-based. Obviously, that's where else would you store your data? Obviously, in the cloud. And when you look at what we do, the UX, the UI, right, everybody thinks it's gorgeous. But really, the magic happens in the back end. And I know what you're thinking, back end. Okay, here he goes. He's making a sex joke again. And yes, I am. But also, it's about the piping of what we do, okay? It's efficiency. Maximizing efficiency, maximizing revenue, okay? So, you like revenue, do you not?
I do like revenue.
Right, God, that makes two of us. Now, when you take a paintbrush, if you had a magic paintbrush and you painted your perfect solution, give me three adjectives to describe that solution.
Three adjectives, okay. Creative, game-changing technology.
Yep. That's so funny. You did say creative and game-changing, right? And technology? Because the New York Times just wrote an article about us, and they said Corpse Company, Corpse Cloud, game-changing, creative technology.
My man. Oh, my God.
Okay, look, here's the thing. But here's the thing. we've got a lot of interest. We've got a ton of it. And like, you know, you're not the first person to say we want creative game changing technology. So here's what I'm going to offer you, just because I like you, because you brought me on your pod. You get 1%. Oh no, that sounds like a low number. That sounds like a low number, but it's cheap. $50 million. A16's wow. already in. Mark Andreessen is in the other room right now. He's tied up against his will. So
that's great.
Just think about
that's
it.
That's great.
That's what we I'm got. In. I actually have stepping out of this for a second.
I still don't know what you do, but I'm in.
Yeah. It's game changing. What else do you need to know? Revenue. Revenue. This is the graph. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Technology.
Retention rate, 100%. 100% retention. Everybody's using it, and you're already late to the game. So.
And it's on blockchain.
And it's on blockchain. Yeah. So, you know, it can't be bad. He'll take 10. You'll take 10 of whatever I'm selling. But I'll tell you, Rahul, I run an investment group called Corp Capital. And our whole thesis is just simply that we do unicorn shit. So our logo, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. This is serious. This is our unicorn shit logo.
I love that logo.
So when A16 is ready to grow up and work together with a truly great investment org, they can come find me in Corp Capital. We can do some unicorn shit together.
And you're not joking about that.
I'm dead serious. It's actually just – so right now it's just a syndicate. So basically I built a big syndicate out of all the sales folks who follow Corporate Bro. You know, the hypothesis being they're all making a bunch of money. They're all highly risk tolerant. You know, they're all in like buying cryptos and they want to be like in the market. They want to like spend money and so on and so forth. But they have no access to private investing really. And so – you know, I kind of took my network from my Stanford network and basically said, okay, here's all these founders. So we've invested in some A16 companies, but we're doing really small checks. Like this is kind of the pilot before we launch a fund, a more traditional fund here in the next year.
No, that's great, man. That's how you have to start. I mean, you know, usually the small check funds are more engaged, you know,
they're super fun.
Yeah. And no, that's awesome. It's good for you. That's
who better to sell your company than a bunch of sales savages who actually have a vested interest? I mean, they all think you got to work somewhere and then work there for 4 years to get your 4 year vesting, 1 year cliff, shitty little options. They don't understand how cap tables work.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So. Hey, you know what? So something I was going to say that really struck me. You know, watching your videos, you make fun of this coddle culture, I guess, that they have in the Valley, you know, and you do it really well. I mean, you did this before it was even sort of recognized as a culture. You know, I'm assuming it's because you kind of live it or something. I don't know what it is, but imagine you're on Twitter today. Let's say Elon texts you and says, hey, you know, I really need your help to come into Twitter and like help change the culture. Like what would Corporate Bro's first day look like, I guess? And then, you know, but I mean, just generally
chief
speaking,
fun officer?
What do you think?
Yeah. Are you asking MBA Ross? You're asking Corporate Bro. Cause there's two separate answers.
Okay. Let's start with MBA Ross and then go.
Yeah.
There.
So MBA Ross, what his goals are and his intentions are, I actually agree with. I mean, Twitter you need to shake the tree and get like, at least 50% of the people out of there. Now, I don't know the numbers because I don't have the numbers, but there's an enormous lack of efficiency at so many tech companies because people don't do shit. They don't. Yeah. They genuinely don't do shit. And I think he has a horrible EQ. I think he needed to talk to a PR team. I think he needed to talk to a life coach, someone to be like, hey, maybe don't be a fucking asshole about it. You know, like these are people's lives. These are people who have, many of whom have like contributed. I don't think his methodology was particularly correct, but I do think Twitter was due for, like many other tech companies should, for a shakedown, you know? And same with the crypto industry. I mean, like, that's what a recession is forcing. It's forcing us to all look at like what we do and how we're doing it. And like, are we being efficient? Like, and I think Elon's trying to do that. I just think he's also kind of a crybaby meme lord. And that's what you get when you have somebody who's a little petulant as him. Now, Corp Bro's going in there and being like, all right, we need to stock the vending machines with, you know, hard seltzers, Four Locos, right? Like, we're keeping the catered meals. You bet. I mean, I think we're changing the dress code for sure. Everyone's got to look good. Everyone's got to look good every day, including the engineers in the dark cavey rooms that they work in. You know, like, you got to look good, feel good, play good kind of situation. I'd probably be a little more rah-rah about it and kind of get people like a little more battle cry-ish. But, you know, if you're going to make an engineering kind of focused company, I'm probably not the right fit for that that org.
So how do you lean then? Are you politically, I guess, are you just more like centrist?
Yeah, I mean, so whenever I'm with like my ultra liberal friends or my sister, I'm an alt-right raging conservative, and when I'm with my conservative grandparents, like, I'm a libtard, and that's just kind of how it is. I'm more just like case by case. Like, let's just look at the facts and make an objective choice about it. I'm probably a little more utilitarian than most. Like, I don't know. I still, if it comes down, if it's social issues first, that's what I'm going to pick. Like, if I'm picking politically in the grand scheme, I'm going to take like social issues before economic issues. And I know you can there's a lot of nuance to that. And I think part of that is that I'm in a fortunate enough position that like most economic things, like I'll be okay. You know, if like we're increasing taxes and so forth, like I'll be fine. Do I like that? Do I like having a business in California? Honestly, not really. So I understand why people are moving to Texas, but I still think like, for me, it's just going to come down to social issues first. But if I'm looking at a company and I want to mandate return to work, for example, fuck yeah, I'm going to do that. Like, yes, you don't have to work here. Oh, but you're not like giving access to the rest of the world to work there, and you're making it really hard for certain types of people to not work there. Fine. Go find another job. Like, it's my company. I can run it how I want to. And like, whoever wants to work there can work there. And that's like how we're going to run it. Like, there are other options out there. I shouldn't have to like cater to the whole world. And I also shouldn't, as a company, have to make a political statement either. I don't think companies are humans. I don't think companies, unless your mission, like you're, you know, 501c3, and that like you're fighting for human rights about XYZ, that's your mission. That's what you do. If the mission is not aligned, I think this was a huge thing with Basecamp like 2 years ago. Like, people were freaking out. Like, why aren't you making a statement about X or Y? I can make my own personal statements about X or Y, but like the company itself doesn't have to take a stand, I don't think. Yeah. That's just not how it is. And, you know, maybe I'm a dick. I probably am. But like, that's kind of how I see it.
No, I think that's reasonable. I should, before I before you ask your question, I just want to ask one more thing. listen, I think that's completely reasonable what you're saying. And I'm of the same mind. I think any entrepreneur who builds a company is going to be, you know, thinking that way. And I guess I guess it's just your approach and how you get the outcomes that you want. But I believe that, you know, Twitter was full of a very toxic entitlement culture. It needed, I think 70% of the people needed to be changed. Not to say that they're bad people or they weren't doing, you know, great things in their jobs at certain points in time, but this became a festering issue, I think. You know, the bottom line, you know, like the free food thing was crazy. The person who ran it saying it only cost $10 a person obviously did not do the real math on what it would cost. Like, it's crazy. But anyways, one quick thing I wanted to ask you is, can you explain sadness to everybody?
I was about to bring up sadness.
Of course. Sadness. So everybody's heard Always Be Closing, ABC. So then, you know, Glengarry Glen Ross, old school sales culture. The new acronym that is replacing, I'm aiming to replace ABC with, is sadness, which stands for sales are dope, never ever stop selling. Sadness, because sales is really hard and there's a lot of sadness in what we do. And we are all very self-aware, being like, yeah, would I want this call from myself right now? Probably not. But also, I need to eat food. And in order for me to eat food, I need to close business. And that's where the never ever stop selling comes in. Because sales are dope. When you close business, it's dope. You can live a good lifestyle. You can make a lot of money. But you kind of got to be on that never ever stop selling game. So that's the acronym, sadness.
Love it. Go ahead, Aisha.
Yeah, love it. No, I was going to bring up the 2022 sadness report, just talking about kind of layoffs and in-person versus remote work. Were you surprised by some of the data that came through? And everyone, the sadness report, Corporate Bro went out to his audience and took a survey on just the sales industry in general, I would say.
Yeah, I was actually pretty surprised about it. I mean, like, I wrote about this, like, you have to caveat some things. Like, are salespeople going to tell the truth about hitting their numbers? I'm going to be skeptical about like the true reporting.
Right. Of course.
You know, I was actually surprised. A few things I was surprised about. I think a lot of people believe their leadership team is tapped into the current selling conditions and the macroeconomic conditions, that they recognize that there are issues and things are harder now. I would have thought the average salesperson would typically be like, yeah, my management team has no fucking clue what's going on. Like, you know, the classic overlords versus peasants kind of situation. An overwhelming amount of people also said they would recommend their role at their company. which is the best endorsement you can have, right, of a company. Your own people will put their reputation on the line to somebody else to say, come work here, right? Now,
and I would say that's pretty rare in just the real world and everyone that I've pretty much talked to.
Super rare. I mean, super rare. And, you know, usually you work for the manager, right? It's like if you like your manager, that's where you want to be. It's less about the product. People aren't exactly enthused about travel expensing software. But if their manager's cool and they're successful in making money, then great. SAP Concur could be great for you. I do not necessarily believe that 57% of people hit quota in 2021. 57 is probably high. I think like a healthy sales org should be 70. That's what I think. But I think times were tough last year. I think they're even tougher now. I'll be really interested to see what that trend line looks like next year when I poll people. So I don't necessarily believe that. The other one was like another one that was not surprising was, I don't know, have the number in front of me, but it was like 70% of people were like, I'm more effective working from home.
Right.
Or they believe they are more effective. It's like, you know, the question, do you think you're better than the average driver, right? It's like the number is always 70% of people think they're better than the average. You know, nobody wants to claim they're worse than less than average. So, you know, I actually, next year, if I'm going to do it again, I'm going to get more into the mental health piece, like, because I think there's a huge element of like struggle of working from home and working alone. And like, I don't think I could sell without the sales floor. Being alone in here calling. I don't know. I mean, how do you guys feel about work? How do you feel about
Irreverent Labs in terms of remote?
Yeah, exactly.
In office? Yeah. Well, you know, I talk to David about this all the time. And you know, as a tech company, if you sort of watch people's productivity, you can look at, you know, how many times they sort of submit to, you know, GitHub, and you can look at their quality of code. You know, you can do code reviews every day, you know, that sort of thing. But I am more of a traditional person. I believe that being in an office with people, you get something that's intangible, which is like the water cooler talk, and you know, and just like collaborating ideas and things like that come up that you just cannot get from remote work. And I've tried different tools. You know, like what are some good, you know, remote work tools? We even went as far as to try. Forgot the name of it. It was like The Sims meets a corporate office, where you walk around with the character and you sit at a desk. I literally tried this at the beginning of Irreverent Labs to see what it would be like, but it was just too much of a distraction. But yeah, listen, I have friends at Amazon and Microsoft, and their real estate utilization was down to 20%. And Amazon's building the tallest building in Bellevue right now, and you know they're going to finish building it without building the inside of it, because they don't know how to outfit it yet. Wow. And you know, another company, I won't mention who, but it's a massive, you know, tech company here in the Seattle area. They've offered us free space to come in and work with them, you know, to build with them and get free real estate, which is great. But you know, it has to change. It's really nice to see the CEO of Snap come out and say, you know, come in 4 days a week, because we want to build, you know, we want to sort of change the culture from, you know, it's about my well-being to it's about the well-being of all of us together. You know, and I think that's smart. I wanted to ask a quick question, if you don't mind, Ross.
Yeah.
I was watching a video of you, I don't know, a couple days ago, and you basically did the 10X thing, and you're sort of pointing at your hat, like the 10X. Yeah. And I'm like, man, that reminds me of Grant Cardone. And then you referred to yourself as Crypto Cardone, and I don't know, or Corporate Cardone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that was a Freudian slip, or if that was like, you know.
Oh, no, that was my whole, like, spoof of Grant Cardone. I've done a few spoofs of Grant Cardone. That video in particular is spoofing like his top YouTube video, where he goes in, he says like half the things that I say are the exact things he says. He goes in there, it's like, let's take time out of the equation and just do this. And the guy's like, God damn it. That was so good, man. Like, I'm in. And he's just like, sometimes the executive's got to come in, bring the altitude. All right. That's what I can do for you. Like that. He was like trying to sell his sales training. So a lot of the quotes in that are actually things that he said. Other than I have a hot wife, which I made my own. There, I just threw that in a few times.
He kept bringing up the fact that I have a hot wife. Yeah. I 10X my wife or something like that, or I 10X someone else.
I did 10X his daughter, but I have a hot wife now, okay? That's called value.
So good. It's so good. So what do you think about Grant Cardone then?
I
Or guys like Grant Cardone. Let's not say Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
Let's
just,
let's just talk about those guys.
To me, that's like the kind of Wolf of Wall Street selling. The pressure, push selling. And I don't think that works anymore. I just don't think that's how it is, especially in complex tech sales. You know, you got to build a business case. Like, you got to have a reason for, you got to bring in multiple stakeholders. Like, you're not just going to call someone and push them to spend, you know, six figures on any software in that style. I think as the world moves towards like product-led growth, this PLG motion, nobody wants to talk to salespeople anymore. They want to get information on the website. They want to transact or try it on the website. And then if they want to like scale it up to their whole organization, then it's like, okay, maybe now I want to talk to a salesperson now that I kind of like have gotten my feet wet. It's not just going to be people being just hammering. So I think it's kind of becoming a parody of itself, literally. Yeah.
Then what do you think about, does Corporate Bro have a mastery class?
I did a fake masterclass ad for how to make like you be just like less shitty person, but have a like you're still a shitty person, but you're a shitty person with a ton of money. So that's like the masterclass that I made. I have not actually sat down and done a true masterclass. Now I did and do work with a company called Bravado. We made something called Tech Sales U for us people to actually want to get into tech sales. Like, this is a real thing, to kind of give people a crash course on what is tech sales, what are the acronyms, what do they mean, who does what, how does it work. But I haven't done, and I've thought about it, like, what would a Corp Bro sales training look like? I would want it to be legit and real and good, but obviously like bring a bunch of comedy into it as well. I just don't like to think of myself as a sales trainer. I don't want to be a sales guru. Like, I want to do bigger, different things.
I think a parody mastery class would be really good, though.
I know. I just need help. Like, I would want to bring in a true sales trainer, someone that I respect, to actually kind of give me the curriculum, and then I'll spice it up.
You know? Have you ever trolled Twitter Spaces?
No. So Twitter is like definitely, I'm the worst on Twitter. Twitter is like the least kind of engaging platform for me, mostly because I do video and like so few people seem to consume video on there. So that's like, it's a tough spot for me to kind of play. So I haven't spent much time in the spaces. I've thought about it. I just like, I'm like, if I'm going to go do this, then I might as well. I actually troll most people on LinkedIn. I am like, LinkedIn's just behemoth troll.
This is great.
I built my own bridge and I sit under it and I just feast on people. So, you know, it gets a lot of traction on there. I would say like LinkedIn is a great spot for me because there's not a lot of creators on it. And so people will go on there.
Are you on as Corporate Bro in LinkedIn?
I'm on both. I'm on as both. But I'm kind of like the, God, I hate even like describing myself. I'm like sales white knight, where like I can say, a chief information security officer will be like, dear salespeople, like stop reaching out to me. Like, I hate you guys. Like, go get a real job type thing. And then I'll be the one who like looks up their company, finds that they have a whole sales team, finds that they have a sales development organization. And I look at their job requirements and say, like, required to outbound, you know, cold solicit, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, here's the people at your organization that are paying your bills, because without them, there's no revenue. And you get to sit here and whine about the people that your own organization uses to close business.
Oh, so you're like not just trolling, you're actually calling them out.
Okay. Oh, I'm calling out. I'm going in. I will troll people. I will troll people, but they have to be asking for it. I don't like just go after people just because.
It's great that LinkedIn lets you do that. I think that's awesome.
I've been kicked off that platform a couple times, but now I have reps inside LinkedIn who can keep me from getting kicked off. And their whole sales team follows me. So it's kind of like, well, you can't hurt me now, you know?
Yeah. I have another one.
I'm on the inside.
I have another one before I should get to the next part of this. I was watching another Corporate Bro video where you're like, I think you're Crypto Bro maybe.
Yeah.
And you basically you reenacted what it was like to be early crypto, watching, or even just now, like if you're new to crypto and you're watching the volatility, and they're like pumped because, you know, Bitcoin went up and then, oh no, it's down today, and like it's like up and down volatility. It's super funny. And even the fact that you made fun of the fact that people who have been in crypto for like, I've been in crypto for 2 weeks. So there's that, like, you know,
Think I understand it.
Yeah, I think I understand how it works. Yeah. So what is your Ross's opinion really on the crypto in general and like Bitcoin, like the technology? And you can say, obviously, we want your real opinion on this. I'd love to hear.
Yeah. So I got into crypto in like 2013. I'm like a
good time to get in.
I was a hardcore Redditor, and so like Reddit kind of put me on to, like, I'm sure many folks. So living through the like 2016 end of 2016 kind of like meteoric rise was like, you know, it was fun. I was sitting there staring at my Binance like all day long, looking at candle charts and so forth, and trying to read all of these white papers about the technologies of these companies. And I've been a long time investor in like the traditional markets, and like the fact of the matter is just like time in versus like timing of the market, like just be there for long enough. So I think what's happening right now in crypto is a unbelievable setback. Well, a very believable setback. I don't think it's the end of crypto. I think it's a necessary kind of setback. There's so many trash tokens out there. There's so many rug pulls. There's so much garbage. I do think crypto will get regulated, and I actually support the regulation of crypto if we want crypto to actually exist kind of in the fabrics of culture and society. There will always be reasons. There will always be people who want the, like, you know, the DeFi and like, but we're seeing what happens when people are just losing so much money and have no recourse. It's like, it's a harsh lesson that no, like, those people are never going to come back.
Yeah. Like, they're never I mean, technically, you know, FTX was CeFi, like totally right. Centralized finance run by, you know, who totally. Seems to be a complete scammer, but people aren't seeing it for some reason or not calling him out in the New York Times, which
that's
I find
a whole
really
wild
odd.
Thing. I'm like very upset with the media right now. No, they're nah, putting dude. Them on panels. They're giving them live interviews and so forth.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, it'd be interesting, or I mean, I don't know how you would do it, but if you could get Corporate Bro to do like a, you know, a interview with Sam Bankman-Fried or something like that.
I would love to do that. I would. Yeah, I'm trying to get the head of sales who was fired at Twitter. She was fired from Twitter for refusing to let go of more people. And I'm like, I just want to know, like, what's going on in there? I want to hear, like, the story. I, you know, obviously I've told you my opinions, but I'm like, here, I'm really interested in this stuff. And like, if SBF doesn't go to prison, then it, like, the setback is extended. Like, there's going to be zero trust.
Yeah, like I've been pretty deep in crypto since 2014. Yeah. 2013, I was a little skeptical of Bitcoin, but 2014, I went all in, and that's when I built my first company, my first blockchain based company, I agree that we need regulation. We just need clarity on regulation, and we need regulators to be friendly to innovation. Like, their job as a regulator should be to protect consumers and to enable, not stifle, innovation, right? And unfortunately, a lot of the regulators don't understand that part of the role. And they, like, what's going to happen with FTX is, you know, FTX is this bohemian exchange, let's say, right? Who happened to have a CEO who was buying, you know, favor in the U.S. by donating both to Republicans and Democrats in a massive way. His mom is a massive Democratic donate, you know, like, whatever, giver, I guess. You know, and they blew up. So what's going to happen? The regulators completely fucked up on this by not doing anything in the first place, not really regulating. So who gets the ire of the storm? It's going to be Coinbase. And Coinbase is actually a legit company with no coin. Like, they didn't create Coinbase token. They're building a legit regulated, you know, custody and an exchange. And Bittrex is the same thing. It's a US-based exchange. They're doing really great work. They're trying to work with regulators. They're trying to legit the space. But, you know, this FTX thing just makes it hard for anyone in the US to build in the space. And that's kind of frustrating. But
I mean, the innovation thing is, like, it's easily the most important piece of it. It's the same reason, like, our financial system doesn't innovate quickly at all, why I stay as far away from that stuff, like, as a creator as I possibly can. Like, my mom's whole career is in the financial services world, and I'm like, that sounds absolutely awful. I interned, like, at Schwab for a couple of years. Like, this fucking sucks. But I do think that Coinbase, though, like, I got really lucky. Like, I had a bunch of stuff on BlockFi. I took it all off probably like 4 or 5 months ago. I was like, the interest rate stuff, like, all these, like, you know, rates were starting to seem unbelievable to me. I was like, this doesn't make, none of this makes any, like, technical sense. And so I'm still buying Coinbase stock. Like, the fact that they are publicly traded gives the transparency that I feel like people want and need. And all the hardo crypto boys are super anti, you know, Coinbase for the same reasons, but that's also, like, know, they're mad about their $25 that they lost in FTX. So
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's weird. It's a weird time, but I think like the whole world, whether you're like an overvalued unicorn or you're like some coin in the crypto world, like the shakedown, the shakeout is happening right now. And it's a consolidation and a lot of this fluff, it needs to go. So
yeah, I agree.
Jumping back in, that we do on the podcast here is we kind of go over the latest headlines and get thoughts from our guests. Are you into that?
I'm super into it.
You're in? Well, you're a sports guy. Have you been watching the World Cup?
I have been. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was at a bar for the U.S. Iran game, which was,
yeah,
you know, I was decked out in gear. This World Cup's little weird to me. There's a lot of hypocrisy in it. It's a little strange.
Totally.
It's hard to not watch, like, you know, like the social justice warrior in me is like, we should all just boycott. Everyone should just boycott this. But I'm also like, I fucking love soccer. Soccer's sick. Like, go America. Like, so, you know, I picked the Netherlands to win it as a dark horse because everyone's going to pick like France or Brazil or something.
I hope they wear clogs on the game. Yeah, it's going to be a tough game.
It's going to be tough. But I mean, like, honestly, like from a U.S. standpoint, Netherlands are beatable. But, you know, I do love the World Cup. And the last thing I wanted to see was the U.S. like have 8 years away from it to set like the whole soccer world in the U.S. back even more. So,
yeah, I have some Arab friends and, you know, we talk about this a lot. Like I went to Doha a couple times in the past I went there because I used to have a friend that lived there who was building the hospital, the Sidra Hospital, helping to build their whole radiology department and stuff like that. Anyways, when I was there, it was hard not to notice the buses of basically slaves that were being, transported out and their living conditions were horrible and, you know, all this other stuff. And you think, wow, if that was bad, imagine building 9 stadiums, you know, in the middle of like 150 degree weather, what that would be like,
horrific.
Right? Yeah, it's horrific. But then, you know, but then here we live in the U.S. and like, man, we've, you know, this country's done a lot of horrible things. So, you know, it's hard to, because that's their point, right? Their point is, where do you live again? You live in the U.S.
Yeah.
You guys attacked Iraq. Like they just, you know, they go off on me and I'm like, yeah, you know, well, first don't you guys me, I'm Canadian, but second of all, I guess Canada was involved in that war too. So, but at the end of the day, you know, I think the, what I found really, really moving for me was watching the Iran-U.S. game, and the Iranian player was down on the ground and he was kind of injured, and the U.S. guy helped him up. That should have been an image that was all over the headlines today, but it wasn't, right? Yeah,
there was the Iranian guy crying and like the U.S. guy hugging him after the game and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, that's the beauty of sports, is it's just like it transcends all things and like makes you, and you know,
the problem is the Iranian guy is crying because when he goes back, you know,
his ass beat.
Unfortunately, and what's happening in Iran right now is so bad that, you know, I have another friend who used to be my chief of staff, who was telling me that in Iran, they have told people, the government has told people that if you capture a protester, you can keep them for the night. For the night. Do whatever you want to them, and then bring them to us the next day. And you won't get arrested.
The stories that you're hearing that are coming out are just, I mean, beyond horrific. And I mean, back to the like World Cup, I mean, I think that building stadiums, people shouldn't have to die for a World Cup to happen, regardless of, you know, what is happening. I don't know. I didn't watch the FIFA documentary, but people had recommended it. I don't know if you guys saw it.
FIFA, like, talk about corrupt organizations. I mean, FIFA is like right at the top, besides the Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
And a lot of our governments. I mean, it's, you know, there was an Iranian, I don't know if you guys saw the interview with McKinney, midfielder for the U.S., an Iranian reporter said, like, so how do you feel like representing a country that is so oppressive towards black people?
Yeah.
Straight up asked him that. And he had like the most amazing answer. It was like, you should look it up.
I did. I saw it.
Yeah.
He first corrected him on how to pronounce Iran.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was interesting. But then, I mean, you know, he asked a good question and he got a good answer. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bait. It was, you know, and then you're like, okay, that was probably a plant from like a government plant trying to stir up more shit. And McKinney did a great job of not buying into it. But it's just like, you know, as much as it sports is used to mask problems, which is in and of itself like a problem. And it also like is a great bonding experience for us,
so many
like
people,
citizens of the world. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
So go,
so you're both terminology soccer people, not football.
Oh no, yeah. I'm football. I'm football as an American football, and then soccer as a
yeah. The round ball. I watch football every Sunday. Yeah,
same
for 7 hours.
Yes,
7 hours.
Oh, what do you think? What do you think of Russell Wilson?
Oh, God, talk about a fall from grace. Last week, he was the 33rd ranked quarterback. There were 32 that played, or 33rd of 30. There's 32 teams. So a backup came in and performed better than him. Yeah, that was a big old fleece. Big old fleece by the Seahawks.
It was, right? And by the way, I'm a massive Seahawks fan. I'm a season ticket holder, and I've got 3 Russ jerseys. And you know, when he was traded, it was kind of bittersweet for us. Like, yeah. We were like, you know, Russ has been acting weird lately. You know, I went to it's kind of a neat place, Seattle, especially in the tech industry. I go to a party every year that has it is at a particular guy's home here on Medina, and he brings in always interesting people. Like, you know, one year, you know, Satya Nadella was there. Bill Gates has been there. Bill Gates was there last year. And there's always interesting people at his events. And one year, Russ was there. This was after the Super Bowl that we won. He was talking to my wife and I about an app that he built. It was called Trace Me. He did not talk about football at all. And we were there talking to the guy for, I kid you not, like 50 minutes. 50 about this fucking app that was like, it sounded like a complete fail. And and at the time I was running Unicorn, which was a esports betting company, like a regulated esports betting company. And I messaged my team right after the call, and I said, hey, listen, whatever you do, like, don't bet on Russ this season. Like, we're fucked because he is so distracted with this dumb idea. He's distracted with everything other than football right now. And sure enough, you know, it was like the right call. It was a complete disaster just watching him play. And now, you know, it's sort of more about him and less about the team. And then the whole signing fiasco that happened in Seattle, he could have taken a pay cut and really built the team around him, but it just didn't happen. So I don't feel bad for the guy. I do like him as a person, but I don't feel bad about his, you know, the football situation. You need to humble down, I guess, and get it right.
I mean, for some of these pro athletes, unfortunately, like, the reality is, like, they play sports for a living, and to them, it is a job. Like, they're like, oh, I got to go to work today. Like, and they don't enjoy it. And that's what it is. Like, Madison Bumgarner, Giants postseason hero, probably the best performance of postseason history as a pitcher. He's like, I don't really get nervous because, like, it's my job. Like, I just go there. And, like, I would much rather be on my farm in South Carolina. Like he just goes and, like, he gets his paycheck and then he leaves. And, like, that's all it is to him. Which, probably, to me, I'm like, God, I would have given everything. And he fell off extremely hard after this. Like, he was, you know, got his huge paycheck, won a couple World Series. And it's like, what else is there? Like, eh. Like, same with Russ. I think Russ got his paycheck and he's just like, I want to do other stuff. And, like, that doesn't help your team win, unfortunately. There has to be some passion there.
That's right.
So, in life, in all things.
Definitely. Well, I know we're kind of running low on time. Yeah. So, before we lose you, we'd love to hear any tips or advice for any salespeople out there, other than to follow you, of course.
Yeah. Oh, man. Tips or advice. I mean, people always ask me, like, if the anxiety ever goes away. And the answer is no. It doesn't ever go away. It's how well can you manage it? Like, sales is an extremely psychologically taxing profession. You know, you're measured by a number, and if you're missing that number, you get canned. So few roles on earth have that type of pressure. And so for me, like, the one thing I can kind of recommend is, like, don't tie your self-worth to whatever your number is that month, that year, that quarter, whatever it may be. It's like, be a well-rounded human being. You know, when you leave the office, like, do something else, go work out, like, play video games, like, go do hobbies, whatever it may be. Just, like, and it was really hard for me to separate this for the first couple of years, is like, that's just, like, that's your job. And that's just, like, not who you are. And it's easy to get caught up and get really depressed and get a really dark place about it. And the best salespeople, you don't know if they're having like the best month of their life or the worst month of their life. They're just professionals about it. So that's probably the best thing I can say. Like, I wish I could get there. If there was a silver bullet to closing business, I would be like have the mansion right next to SBF already and doing some other shit, building an app with Russell Wilson.
Yeah. 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 I'm super interested in learning more about your fund. And I have to congratulate you on being a content creator in a space that's really hard to create. You know, first of all, it's hard to create content that's unique and interesting. And second of all, you know, getting that following and building it, you just got to keep doing it. I think it's pretty amazing what you've done. And, I guess the question is, how do you take it to the next stage? By the way, does Corporate Bro have a podcast?
I do have a podcast that I do with the CEO of a company called Scratchpad. And it's called Beyond Quota. You know, we talked to a bunch of people, we talked to a lot of folks who were kind of in sales but got out. But now it's a little bit more about just like, we just kind of shoot the shit about whatever. We do link it back to business and kind of how, like, whether their views on salespeople and so forth. But a lot of it is just like, whatever we're interested in. That's why I want to talk to like a Twitter engineer or something. Like, I don't give a shit who it is, but that is one thing. We did shoot a show that'll hopefully be coming out next March called Sad, Sales Are Dope. I don't know what that will be on yet. Hopefully it will be on a streaming service somewhere, but TBD on that. Worst case, it'll be on YouTube and then everyone should go watch it.
That's great. It. Cool. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me. This was a blast. I wasn't sure where we were going to go with it, but this was really fun.
Well, we didn't get a chance to talk about cocks and hens, but you know, maybe next time we'll see. I'm definitely interested in having you on when we meet with Ariana, and you can pitch a startup if you're down with that. I think it would be pretty funny. But
yeah, I would do a lot more research. I would start really thinking about some stuff. Maybe I just pitch one of their portfolio companies, and she doesn't even know it.
Yeah. Like what we could do is we could start the podcast off sort of like, you know, in the dark where you're sort of in the background. And then I'll say, hey, I got a surprise for you. You got somebody's going to pitch a startup idea to you right now. And then
she's like, it's not going to be a surprise. Yeah. Hopefully she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. All right. Awesome, man. Hey, it's great having you, Ross. Good luck to you. And thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you celebrate.
Yeah. Enjoy the holidays. Celebrate them all equally. Yeah. You know, they're all fun. Thank you guys. Cap, thanks for setting us up, man.